Mrs. Sanders, when did your family settle in Middletown?
Well, my husband was here first in the 29, and then I came here in the early 30s.
What were your reasons for moving to Middletown?
Well, my husband could find better work. So then this brick factory out in Newfield was getting men to work. They needed men, and so my husband was fortunate to be one of the workers to be, as you say, immigrant up here.
What area of the country did you come from?
Darlington, South Carolina.
So most Blacks that come to Middletown come from the South?
More West, most of them.
What other Black families were here when you arrived? Were there many Blacks in Middletown then?
No, not too many, quite a few.
Where did you live when you first arrived here?
I lived on Newfield Street, Newfield out in Newfield.
Was that in the same area or were they spread out over Middletown?
They lived in the very same area.
And did most Blacks socialize together that lived in the same area, or did they have friends that perhaps lived in other towns close by?
Well, we socialized together, you know, out there where we were living at.
Have the housing patterns for Blacks in Middletown changed substantially over the years?
Oh, yes.
Can you tell us something about the housing?
What you mean, the more conveniences?
Say, for instance,
the changes.
Long ago, could Blacks live anywhere in Middletown?
No,
if they wanted?
No. No, indeed not.
So why was that? Was housing too expensive, or?
No, well, I guess that was just privacy. They didn't put the whites with the whites, and that the colored have so much of the areas, you know, the living quarters. Mm-hmm. For instance, out at Long River Village, when we first moved there, they had quite a few units, and they had a part of State Terrace, about two units that the colored people lived in. And part of that, they gave it to the whites. They all were separate, though, but they, you know, just a few apartments. And all the others back in there, where they all down in, it was nothing but whites. And they didn't let colored people go in there. About that. But in that time, I was out of the state.
Would you like to comment on that?
I thought that was a shame. You know, during a time when housing was needed very badly for more than just the Blacks, for the whites too. And they built these tents down in, what's the name of that baseball field down there just below Sumner Street, Virginia?
Otis, not Otis.
No,
the other one. I don't ever remember that name.
Yeah.
Hubbard?
No.
Hubbard, wasn't it?
They named it for two different people there. Didn't they? Baroni and something field.
I don't remember the name.
Well, anyway, it was in a playground area where they put up these tents for people to go in it, you know. Of course, you know none of the whites were going to go in it.
How long did they expect people to live in these tents?
Let me tell you. Nobody went down there to live in those tents. Nobody did. That was just a waste of the taxpayers' money to put it down there, because nobody went down there. They just let them stay right down there where they were. Nobody showed up down there.
Well, who put up the tents? The city did?
I don't remember what it was, the city or organization or whatnot, but I think it was authorized by whoever was mayor at that time. I don't remember who was mayor. No, I don't think it was Beale.
That was the Middletown mayor.
Yeah, it was the Middletown mayor, yeah.
So why all of a sudden was there a need for so much housing?
I forgot what happened. Something.
People didn't have
it was something. No, it was some kind of emergency thing.
Nine was coming through.
Something or other. is what it was. But anyway, they put the tents down there, but nobody showed up down there. Of course, you know, if anybody had, it would have been, you know, less, they would have no choice, you know what I mean?
So what did people do? Did they move in with friends or relatives or just what?
They must have had to, they had to do something different than that, really. I was just trying to think, you know, at the time when these things are going on, you know, you're all up in the air about it, you know. And then as time goes on, you sort of forget about it, you know, what has really
happened. South Street, you have to put it over further.
You said your husband came here in 1929.
Yeah.
Get a job. Is that because of the Depression? He couldn't find work in South Carolina, so he came to Middletown?
You know, he couldn't find work. They had, you know, he came up on the farm, and the farms were very poor.
What kinds of jobs did they have for blacks back then?
What you mean?
You mentioned
down there?
Here in Middletown.
Oh, they had the brick yard, you know, and they had four brick yards. And during the wintertime, they couldn't work, you know, they shut down in the fall. And then you had to just keep going on and on until the spring, and they open up again, they close down. Well, maybe sometime they would have some trucks order from some place called for some bricks. There might be a truckload of bricks. And there was about 20 or 25 men, I guess, to get a load, put in a little money, you know, for this, you know, truck. And sometime I hope we wind up with about 15, 75 for that whole thing.
How did families earn a living for the people that were working in the brickyard during the off season? What did they do for money to support their families?
They couldn't do it. And later on, the
wives helped. That's what they
work. Yeah, I had work. The women had work, but the men didn't have anything to do. So then, wait a minute now. They didn't have anything to do. Well, I was carrying the load in my home, and so was all the rest of the women that was, you know, working. But maybe sometime I go to town, the wages are very cheap, 25 cents an hour, 35 cents an hour. Well, I'll get up there in the market, and of course my family got to eat, you know, I take the last penny, even though my husband didn't have anything to do. Well, I spend that, and then I have to look forward to watching the penny, so I'd have enough money to get back, you know, for my bus there to get, and if I overspent that, I had to walk about 3.5 miles into town to get to my work. And then later on, City of Middletown started a project, something like, I think they call it the PWA or something.
WPA. That was a governmental plan.
Yeah. And then the man, it was so cold. Those were some of the toughest winters. It was so cold.
This is during the Depression, though.
Yeah. So cold. You see, they put this on to try to help, you know, give the men a little something because they didn't have anything. And the men went out, and I knew my husband is. There was big wind came on the air like a wind.
Frostbitten.
Yeah, and it was frostbitten, and it would burst. Actually, how cold it was.
You couldn't touch
the men couldn't stand the cold then. That was to give them some little money to help out. Well, then they did that as far as they could. Well, all right, now all this rent, your fuel bill, your lights, your rent runs from one fall to the other fall. And you got to pay it up. They didn't even evict us. You had to pay this up, though. Mm-hmm. Well, by the time you start working, just about get straightened out, it's the fall again. It's cold. You had to go over the same routine again. But I was thankful. I kept things. It didn't worry me too much because I was a person like to work, you know. And if a little something came in and we could eat, and make it kinder. We didn't get what we wanted. But still, we we ate enough to live on, you know, kind of comfort. It was the same with the others and different people that had been up there a long time. But it was the Moat face, and you remember him, Virginia? You remember the Moat, Miss Hattie Faison? You remember Miss Hattie?
Miss Hattie? No, I guess she don't.
Died just not too long ago.
No. She was, oh, yeah. Okay, now.
Yeah. And we used to, once we used to, until we got an apartment, we used to room with them. And he would raise a lot of chickens. And he was so nice. He would always divide. You know, he dressed a chicken for himself. He dressed one for us. Mm-hmm. And he'd have so many eggs, and he would give us eggs and things. But his wife, she weren't too keen about sharing.
Don't put that in your food. Oh,
dear. Everything you say is on
it. I know it.
The food prices high during the Depression. What about people that didn't have much money? Was there a way for them to get food for their families? I understand there were food coupons or something that people bought.
Well, later on.
That was during the war.
Yeah, in the war time. Of course, the panic was on still then. When the war times was pretty, because we couldn't get any meats out the market.
This is World War II.
Yeah, we couldn't. It was all in that panic. The war and the flood came all at the same time.
And the war was in, the flood was in 1938. That was the first one. Mm-hmm. That was a biggie.
A flood in Middletown?
Yes, ma'am. Yes. Uh-huh.
Middletown was
1938. That was, I'll never forget it. And then we had another one 2 years later, 36, was almost as bad. It was a flood and a hurricane mixed. It took away all the trees. Weston was bare. There was no trees. They had to replant all the trees that are on the campus that practically, it was just bare. It was dark, no lights. Trucks had a time getting into Middletown, getting in to bring supplies, foods and stuff. And I know that 38 flood, I know my mother, of course my father wasn't doing anything at the time. My mother, she had her little day's work. Of course, I was in school, and naturally with the flooding and everything, there was no school. So my mother and I, we walked into Middletown to stay with relatives so that she could get to her work, because she, you know, she could walk down Main Street and everything. And I'll never forget, well, that mom, we were out at foot of the wall, was coming, you could just see it rising. Right on our heels, we was coming down, and it was just coming right behind us. I'll never forget that. I'll never forget it. And all out there where your mother lived, a river.
The Red Cross.
Well, it was just like a river all the way from here to Hartford. Both ways.
Food out there where I lived at.
Yeah, they take food out in rowboats.
Red Cross did.
Red Cross did a very good part.
Where we lived out in Newfield, it was up high. But the water was down there, you see. Because it would fill in all of those lowlands and so forth.
Well, people's homes were flooded. They had to.
Oh, sure. It went up as far as three stories. Sure did.
And there was down in the bite right down. Of course, they dredged the river. Made it deeper since then. My all, you know, down where the Coleman House and all down that area, you know, down there, all that, that was just like a river. Anytime we had a flood, it would come over there real quick. And all the way up. There's a marking under, as you go under the underpass down there, do you have seen it? As, unless Mark it's level. Off. You can see where the waters were, they have a marking there.
And chicken coops and house tops was coming down the river. We stood and looked as near, you know, as much as we could until they chased the
swift undercurrent.
Did anybody get seriously hurt?
In different areas. I don't know of anyone around right through here. But in other areas further up, there was one of the saddest things I saw, though. I saw a dog house coming down the street, and the dog was still tied to the dog, to the house. Of course, you know where he ended up at.
Oh, it was something.
And how long did it take before people could get themselves back together, move back into their home?
Sometimes it takes a long time because you couldn't go back in your home until you were given permission to go back in because they had to go in and fumigate, sterilize, and what have you. And of course, all of that muck and stuff, you know, from the water, when the water went down, it would leave all that stuff, you know.
And they had these
boys. The furniture out. They wouldn't have the furniture anymore.
They had these boys in coal, and they went all down the river, you know, and throw all that older people's stuff down. And after they got that in, I was down there in some of those houses, stuff, and clean up the bricks and stuff, and the ditches, and all around there.
Did they set up temporary houses?
Yeah, no, they had to go in there.
Oh, okay. I remember different places they had, you know, for the people to stay.
In the churches.
Yeah.
How many black churches were there in Middletown? Are there more now?
More now.
Yeah, there's more here now.
Because back here, when we first came here, there were really only two churches. And that was Crosby, the same little Crosby up here, and the Holy Church in Portland.
Right.
And those were the only
at least to go there
two churches. Before our church was open,
it was here, right? Yeah. Nobody there.
But since then, you know, of course, most of the churches that have sprung up, you know, since then, originally came out of our church. The members were there under watch care because they didn't have a church to go to. The members, like, over here. Woods Church, and down there, and Green's Church. Also, they all were members of Rusty at one time.
You just call that, I guess, a community church.
Was the church in walking distance for all the members? Did they need some form of transportation?
We had buses to get there.
Was there any public transportation that they could have used? Public bus transportation?
That's what it was.
Oh.
Buses just run all over Middletown. And then one of the west side buses that come out of this area.
When did they cut out bus transportation? They don't have public bus transportation anymore.
Down here they gradually they're no longer. We haven't had those buses since how many years? It's been quite a few. We got down to two, the Harper bus and the Meriden bus. Now I understand the Meriden bus is out, Harper bus no one in Middletown.
Have economic opportunities for Black increased substantially over the years? Are there more jobs for Blacks in Middletown today than there was?
When I first came here, you couldn't people couldn't get a job. I'll tell you like it is. I used to get to Middletown first when I first stopped in New York and then I came over here. But my husband was working here, but I was making my way here. And so I used to get, I said, well, before I left out of New York, I said, anything to get a job, I'll find something. So I came over here and I'd go to town every day and get the Middletown Press. And I'd go from house to house and so on and ring the doorbell. Oh, we don't hire colored people. I said, thank you. And I'd go and talk by yourself. So then finally, I ran up on Presley. He was a big Presley store, and his wife wanted somebody to help him out. So he hired me. So then after he hired me, they found that I couldn't come on Sunday because, see, this little thing didn't run on Sundays, and I would have to have transportation because I couldn't do no more walking. And so then I had to, curtail that job. And so finally, I interceded about the job in tobacco. And so I went over there, and the man, he hired me over in Portland. So I came back, and when I came back, who I found, I think her grandmother was there waiting on me. She had found a job for me.
Virginia's grandmother?
Yeah. And that was a steady job. So I went and I worked on that for years and years and years. And from time to time, I, you know, just change jobs and go here and there. Then they had the employment agency. And so I never had any more trouble about work. But here, the white people worked for them. You know, they had their own, you know, white work for white. That's how they did it. They didn't, you know, know us and they didn't understand us. But when they began to find out who we, you know, they really liked for color people to work for.
Were there any daycare centers?
No,
little kids?
No.
Not that we knew of. If there were, we didn't know about it.
This came up.
And listen, I like to go back. You know, when you asked my mother the question about were there many, you know, black people living around when we came, and did they all live in the same area? Now, it is true that in the sense of living, you know, in the same area, that's true, but they were more than one area.
Oh, I see.
See, there were some that lived in Portland, and there were some that lived out in Newfield, in the Newfield area, but in different, at different brickyards. See, they had brickyard number 1, 2, and 3, 4. Mm-hmm. We lived at brickyard 4. There was some living at brickyard 1, what they used to call Lincoln. They used to call that Lincoln there.
Mm-hmm. Well, those people,
this is where.
Together.
Yeah, well, I'm coming up to that now. But I was saying they were all right in one, you know. And then there were people that lived in other areas of Middletown, but we didn't know. Colored people used to live right here in, on Prospect Street, even. And also right over here on Cross Street. But we didn't know them, you know. Now, if my mother-in-law was alive now, she could really tell you that. Because she was, when she came here, she was only 17 years old. And she's been gone now about six. No, she's been gone about 13 years she's been gone. But she was just about 80 when she passed. And she was 17 when she came to Middletown. So she was the one that told me about these colored people, where they lived, you know, in Middletown. But they, you know, died out, you know, and so forth. And I suppose after they died, then nobody else was able to get in, you know.
Yeah.
Once they left, that was it. But of course, we didn't know.
Black people that worked at the brickyards, they lived in housing that was right there near the jobs. Was
right.
This special sort of housing built just
right.
For?
Right. People well, they had, see, they had their houses for their workers. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What year was this? Do you know what?
Yeah, well, it was in, it had to be, it was in the 30s. It was in the 30s because I came, my father came to Middletown in 29, and my mother followed, although he used to come to Middletown before then. He used to do seasonal work during the summer, then go back to South Carolina, you know, in the fall. But then when he and my mother decided to make their home here, my mother, we were all supposed to come. My grandmother put on a performance. She didn't want me to go, leave home. And my mother, she left me. I told her I would never have left my baby, only child.
How
she
old were you then?
I was, six years old.
Oh, you remember
I was 6 years old.
You know.
I can remember when Mama left. I can remember that. And she came to New York and stayed with my aunt because my uncle and my father was over here in Middletown working. That time they didn't have any facilities for the wives to stay here.
It was just
so they
shacking,
were,
you know, they had,
so they were, they had shanties for the men. So When, see, my father, my uncle used to go to New York on weekends to see my mother and my aunt, you know, when they could, you know, get away, go on weekends. And then when my mother left me with my grandmother, and Mom, I think you came like in the spring of the year, somewhere around April, somewhere like that. And then Daddy followed. And he was supposed to bring me when he came, because he had to get things settled there, you know, our house and everything. Mother cried, so he left me. And my mother was to come back and get me at Christmas time. Well, she had to come before then, because in the meantime, my grandmother passed. And so after that, she was glad that he did leave me with her, you know.
Because you were able to spend that time.
That's right, yeah. So my mother came down, and we came back after Christmas, Monday. I think my mother stayed a month after she came to get me. And we rode all, it seemed like all day and all night too. I was amazed to see, as we would ride on a train through New Jersey and all, see the kids on these sleds riding on the ice and everything. Ooh, I'd never seen all that snow before, you know.
Oh, yeah, right.
And, of course, when we got to, when we finally got to Middletown, my daddy met us in Berlin. We got to Middletown. Well, we didn't come into the town. We got out of off of Yard 4, because the train came from Berlin. We'd come to that area first and then come on into the town. And I think we were here about 5 or 6 years before we went back for a visit. I think my mother came back. So it's been, I can remember, and of course I made friends with the girls. It was a strictly Italian neighborhood that we lived in. There were Italian people that lived down there we lived in, because they're there. The men, they worked in the brickyard too. And I've enjoyed my school days here. So when I went to Wilson, I went to Middletown. No, I went to Woodrow Wilson. Went to Newfield School first, a little Newfield School, grade school. Then I went to Woodrow Wilson, rode bus then from Newfield all the way across town over to Woodrow Wilson. And at that time, they only had the one building, the junior high and senior high was all in one building. And when I entered the seventh grade there, I was the only black in the whole school. The only one. I had no problems at all. The teachers were wonderful, and the kids were wonderful. I had a lot of friends. I still have a lot of those friends to today. I had no problems going to school. And not the problems that the children have today. Yeah. Of course, I can realize that the children today are
aggressive.
I would say so, yeah. But for my time and as I grew up, I suppose it was sufficient for me, you know. But this is another generation now, you know. So now, God willing, I'm looking forward to my 35th class reunion in June. I've only missed one. We have a grand old time. Like, Mom was talking to me, and I said to her, I says, Mom, you know, it's just like, well, me now, you know, she's been along where I'm starting to go along now, you know. I said, it was one of those cases like this. I mean, where husband and wife, if one couldn't do, the other's going to take up. Take
hold and carry on.
This is what it's all about.
Yeah, that's what a marriage is.
That's right.
That's right.
I think that's right. Any, not to say that myself on the shoulders, but I've been
here this morning. You know where help is needed in your home. You don't sit back. And I think that's why a lot of things are broken up today, you know?
In later years, and my husband got sick.
One won't take from the other.
Oh, dear. And then the people that I was working for, they said, why don't you take your daughter out of school? And they don't help you. I said, I'm not going to do it. I didn't. I kept her going, and she graduated from Middletown High School.
See, during the time we moved from the Brickyard into Middletown, in the city districts, at that time you moved out of the town district into the city district, you had to go to a city school. So I had to transfer. I was a freshman then. And I went to Middletown High. That's where I graduated from Middletown High.
But all of her children graduated from Middletown.
Yeah.
Were there black teachers in the public schools?
Not at that time, no. But there was one. There was one that was offered an opportunity. That's the first and only one I knew of at that time that was offered a job in the public school system here. You know, that was Virginia Rice Banks. You know her.
Was she a
smart woman. No, she was. This was her town, her home here. She was offered, but she had other plans.
She did teach down to Willimantic graduate once. She went down there and taught Willimantic. And then she went to Africa.
What kinds of social activities did young as well as old people engage in?
What, now or
back then?
They made their own home, they made their own, play little cars.
Play ball, baseball, and sports like that.
Mix it all.
And in their homes. That's it.
So there wasn't really any organized social activities for senior citizens?
No.
Did schools have playgrounds for children to play in?
You mean like when I was going to school? Oh, yeah, we had of course, there was a gymnasium in the school, of course. And then outside, of course, this was all, school activities, like track, football, baseball, what have you.
Were there like church picnics?
Of our own, yes.
What did young people do on the weekends? Did they go to the movies? Were there movie theaters?
Oh, yes. Yeah, that was about the main thing, the movies. And we used to go to sport dances, too. We used to go out of town, go to Hartford, sport dances. They'd have basketball game, and then after we'd be dancing. Then, of course, we had to find the eating places. Always had to eat. I think we kept Henry's in business, Virginia. We supported him. When he opened his little shop, bar, on our way to the movies, stop and eat. Out of the movies, we stop and eat before we go home,
Can you recall any blacks that were involved in politics?
Only black man that I can think of that really got involved in politics, really.
Not way back.
No, not really.
But he was engaged in the
Did blacks nonetheless still go out to the polls to vote?
Yeah, some did. There were a whole lot that didn't. But some did.
Through the years, I think they began to.
Yeah, we had to really just get with it, I mean, some people, they have the attitude that what's the use of voting, One of those, but I feel this way. As long as I'm eligible to vote, I can vote anywhere I want. I can use that vote, whether it pays off or not. Use it, I mean, at least it's something of your own thinking, you can do as you please,
Can either of you name any particularly outstanding blacks in Middletown? Like, that worked in the community to try to help the people here?
Well, there was
In other words, was there any particular person or organization that you could go to with complaints, whether it be about jobs or housing or whatever?
Not an organization, not here in Middletown, not directly in Middletown.
Are you going to say something before?
Well, what I was going to say is course, this doesn't go way back when I was, you know, when I was a child, because at that time it was just really nobody. If you had a problem, you had to go right straight to the horse's mouth, the mayor or whoever, you know, was in office if there was a problem. I mean, you didn't have an organization to say to go to.
It's nothing like,
Not like it is now, of course, no. Now you got many things you can go to now, but it wasn't like that before. Of course, there wasn't money allocated by the government either to set up these organizations either.
She stayed up in that Miss Banks. I know she weighs about, we'd about 400 pounds,
oh,
I guess.
Gracious.
She didn't want to
She was a big lady.
She didn't want to leave her home. And the boats had to go up there and get the windows out and make her come out. Because they had those boys, and those CC boys, they'd be rooting them out the house, you know, danger. They watched all night long.
Yeah, somebody called.
The dangers. All night long, those boys was on the go. They saw the water danger, they would just make those people get out. But Miss Banks, you couldn't get her out.
Not by me.
We up there on the second or the third floor in our house, those two stories, but they're still there now. Water was up there.
That's when they decided to build the new bridge. Because during the flood, all these buildings and things that would come down the river, of course, when it get to the bridge, it would hit the bridge and bang. And then the current would sweep it under, you know. And the bridge was unsafe. Then they decided we had to have a new bridge. That's when they built the... Mm-hmm.
We were in town then when they built that new bridge, right?
And they were living, bang, 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 all night long. We were grudging them.
That's all the president
all night, all day.
To dedicate this bridge.
I was at Barber Camp that weekend. I was at Barber Camp, so I didn't see it. I missed it.
President came here. President Roosevelt, I think it was.
Oh, I saw Roosevelt when he came through.
Up that bridge.
He and his daughter, Margaret. I was just as close as I could put my hand on it. Truman, yeah, that's what I said. Roosevelt, I don't know about Roosevelt coming
here. I remember Roosevelt. And I saw Mr. Truman. And once one was supposed to go up to Wesleyan. I don't know, something happened up through there and they had a detour.
I think Wesleyan was here then. Did they have any black students at all of Wesleyan? Were they letting them in?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They
yeah.
did have some
yeah.
up there?
Because they used to do it out of church.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, there was one Blake. Smart up there. Blake, yes.
Child Blake. He used to go sometime up at our church. He used to come and make nice speeches.
Languages, I think.
Yeah. Mr. Blake, I don't remember him.
Which at that time you had to be super smart to get in there?
Yeah. Right, you had to be
to get into Wesleyan.
You would have to have A+, A- average, B+
probably,
average, something
right.
like that.
Probably.
Whereas now, I don't think it's quite
it's
as
nice.
High.
No.
Yeah.
Do you know if he was receiving any scholarship, or was his parents?
I don't know. I wouldn't know his.
But it seems as though he got along very well up there, though.
He would come and help us out in different things. We had programs that he could speak, you know. I remember we had a debate on a lazy man and a fussy woman and a lazy man or something, you remember?
I can't remember that.
We had a debate on that, you know.
I remember him, though.
And had to say about it. And he said something about it, but it was quite funny. They believe fuss, and all kinds of jazz. It was too funny. So I guess that's about all I can say. It was a pretty tough depression time, but I guess as I say, I was younger, I couldn't take it, but if I'd been older, I don't think I could have. And then I was thankful that I had, you know, some way of working together in some way to keep us, you know, going. Yeah.
Like you said, you didn't take your daughter out of school to help work, but were there other families who had to take their children out of school to help support the family?
No, well, what I was talking about was of another time when her father was sick. This was way later. I mean,
But
in that time, she wasn't old enough.
I was
you know, manage.
Well, I'm getting out of school, finishing high school at that time.
What type of snow removal did they have then? Were they able to remove snow way back then?
Shovel.
I mean, about your streets, your highways, your roads. How did they go about removing snow and stuff then?
They didn't have these kind of plows and things. They had trucks and things.
And they got out there with shuffles on the highway. Well, not highways, but your roads.
They shoveled the snow into the trucks, and the trucks would cart it off.
And how long would it take them to clean up one street?
Jeez.
Then you'd get a big snow like we'd have now. You'd be snowed in for a couple weeks before you could get into town.
You would.
It was something. I can remember that. Of course, we kids, we thought it was great.
Now, we lived up on the hill out there in Newfield Yard 4. Now, the men, instead of tunneling those doing that, I think they should have had that done. But the men had to clear all this
out. They'd all get together and shovel.
Get out.
Were they paid to do this?
No.
I don't know about the pay.
Yeah, they paid the shovel to get out.
And on Main Street, I can remember when they used to, you know, the shovels, you know, the big trucks would be up there and the men would shovel the snow onto the trucks and they would go down and dump it in the river, you know. That was all manual work to get that snow out of there. They had no snow plows or nothing like that.
It's kind of like in the South, you hear when this ice storm came down there. See, they don't have the facilities to do like these people up here.
They're not used to it. They never had snow.
It would have swept them down there. The same time they had the ice storm last winter?
A couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They had to get vehicles from other states to go down and help them out. Because they weren't prepared for that. They never had snow like that, you know. People were standing in motels and everything. It was terrible.